Just for the first time, I watched a snippet of the Dirt Race.
Oh, yeah. There were plenty of great moments in that race.
I wasn't a part of any of them. So I guess we should just say this right up front. Should I just like get like, you know, you bust out the small violin. I get it all out of the way.
Oh, yeah. I got to pull up the video if I'm going to do that.
I mean, I could add it in post. You don't have to, you know, that way we can have a big lossless. How about I'll add it in. I'll add a nice mood. Boy, 2 weeks in a row of things I generally look forward to. Two weeks of things that you just, it was cruel. Oh, way, you know, I was in a pretty tough heat race. Guys, Fontaine, Alex, Matt Telder, of course. The odds didn't make it through. I was in the LCQ. I was going to get all set. It was just smooth sailing.
We're going to start trying to figure out if Sam's microphone's going to make it through the podcast.
Probably not.
And then, and I'm not going to beat him up. Penalties were doled out, and I also know some stuff been going on. Travis just lost control, ran into Dane, who was going to qualify through. Dane got stuck in the wall, and then I had, you know, with how the track was, you just had to throw it into the top line and just hold on to it. I couldn't stop.
Game over. Which stunk, because I actually felt pretty good. And in the some of the preliminary races, felt okay.
Right.
There's a whole lot of pre-drama to the whole dirt race that I could expound upon, but that'll happen at a later. Mm-hmm. And then that was that. That was a dirt race, done and dusted. And then, you know, things happen. Advance to the next week. It's a road race.
Or, what I do all right. I'm hanging in there, top 10. Feeling all right, feeling groovy. Get to the kind of caution. Fine, kept it clean. That's all we're supposed to do. I start rolling. And we are on kind of right before there's the one of the many chicanes, but like you go into it, we're coming up. And I race in VR and I feel something hit my lap. And I was like, oh God, it's the cat. I'm like, so, and of course it's on a restart, so the truck's everywhere. I try to, as gracefully and calmly as I can, take the cat up and just put it right next to me. There's one thing I fail to realize. What's right next to me? My keyboard. And she perfectly hits the ignition, cuts the engine off. So all of a sudden, I just, nothing. And I'm in VR and I'm like, I don't have any power. I'm freaking out to Sean. He's like, you have to hit the ignition button. You somehow lost your engine. Couldn't find it in the VR. I just pull off the side, take the saddle off, hit the ignition, start back up from last place. So I'm going. Fine, I guess. Bad, but not great. Still clean. No one hit me. For the second event of the season, Jacob Bryce, I don't want to play a lot from both of you. I'm just completely lost control. I could have lost the team, but that's the way to go. And I hope those guys are pretty good at the end. And I hope I bumper guys with the KJBQ guys in.
Welcome to Just Here for the GLSR, the podcast where we talk about everything Great Lake Sim Racing Truck Series. Now that I got that all out of the way, you don't want to hear about that. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Or not that I don't want to talk about it, but it's just, it's nothing new. I haven't had a single case this season and it just keeps happening. I am, of course, joined by the voice of GLSR.
Yes, I will last longer than Sam's microphone, which is already cutting out. This is going to be great. I can see already.
It's smoking right in front of me. By the way, this podcast brought to you by Black Horizon. They make beer. I am having Cardinal Ale again because it's what was in the 2 weeks. I don't think we've ever had. Maybe we have, and I'd have to look back at the calendar. Sam's a bit off the dome. It is rare. Very rare that we ever put the dirt race and the road race back to back. And it was a unique challenge logistically and for our drivers who are accustomed to turning left on smooth surfaces of asphalt or concrete. Mm-hmm. And what a crazy.
It was a little cray cray. Both races had its interestingness to it. Of course, the dirt race that was voted on by the drivers. Please note that for later in the podcast. And they went out there and had about a week before the race, which is all of like 10 weeks after they voted for it. They're all like, maybe not so much of a good idea.
Yeah, I mean.
And yeah, things happen.
One or two of them. Multiple setups.
A lap.
You know, there's always things that can be done. You know, not all that glistens is gold.
Right.
And it's hard whenever there's a new track. Of course, you want to do it. And, it, you know, there were in certain one or two individuals, I'm sure, before that post was made that said, hey, this track might not be great. But like, again, when we post a schedule, that's the schedule. People, I know some people who will buy all the tracks in advance, and I'm not going to pay for two.
Right.
More than they already should. I will admit, looking back at it now, setups should be made sooner. We're going to try and make sure it never happens again. A degree of vetting should be made. And I mean, really, before we get into the details of the race, which I'm going to have to rely heavily on you because I'll frankly admit I was just done for the evening after getting taken out and didn't watch it. And I know it's probably not a great thing to admit for a podcast, but I just couldn't do it. I feel like there's two ways to approach how this, maybe three. Either we only ever run one track, and that's just the GSLR dirt, and it's just always Eldora or something. Because, sure, there had been instances of wall riding, but it was not, I don't think, as powerful of the effect that you could get here at Port Royal.
Mm-hmm.
Or somewhere like Knoxville, I heard was actually pretty deep, because you really can't go that far up the track because it's so flat. That's one solution. Or frankly, we just go back to what I've been calling for this whole time, and we go back to Lernerville, baby. No walls, no problem. Just saying.
Okay. I still would like to see USA's dirt course put on the schedule. I've said this, and I'll continue to say it. I think that would be interesting. But it's one of those, it was a trial and error. And you've learned. And this is where the admins get together and figure out what the right move is for the league. You know, you made the attempt. You tried to run the race. It had its ups. It had its downs. And you go from there. You know, I've lived for a very long time under you failed 100% of things you don't try. And for eight seasons now, you've run dirt races and you've you know, you've done your best to make good racing out of it. Some tracks have produced some good racing, some tracks not so much. But, you know, nonetheless, you know, you have the product you have out there. And yeah, there was some drama there, unfortunately, not only for league members, but for myself, as I had to learn a couple of things, didn't even get the broadcast on until the main event. But you know, there were some things learned in that race. There were some things learned in the road race. I will state that I think if you are going to do dirt stuff, I think there needs to be an evaluation of tracks that are not so much used, I guess, for certain types of racing. And I think those tracks need to be looked at and tested on before they get put on a schedule. That's just my opinion, maybe some helping feedback. Otherwise, yeah, I think you go back to running normal dirt tracks. And run those tracks, so to say, on the schedule. If it's Eldora, if it's Bristol, if it's USA or Lanier. I mean, those are your four basic dirt tracks that are on iRacing that you might see a truck or something at. Yeah, wall riding is going to become a factor. And I think that's a product of the racing you're going to get. But that's, you know, the good news now is you have a live admin who, oh, looky there, is pretty experienced at dirt racing. So he kind of knows what to do. But here you had the perfect storm in a dirt race where the only person I think who wasn't warned or at least guilty of wall riding was the guy in the broadcast booth.
Oh, yeah.
And even then, I was leaning up against the wall just watching the race. So I was wall riding technically. But no, it was a wild race. We saw a streak get broken. And not surprised who won the race in Fontaine, but surprised how a lot of things went. And, you know, we even found a way in the race to have 28 trucks all go for the same piece of real estate at one time, which that was a new one. But no, it was interesting. I mean, some people liked it, some people didn't. But, you know, that's part of this schedule that they've had put out this season is you've got a track that in a schedule that has a ton of wild cards in the series. So there's just so many factors that come into play.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's a balance and there are definitely those lines. What the right answer for this question.
Mm-hmm.
When you do races that are unconventional to the average oval racer, do you commit to the spirit of that oddity, or do you try and do your best to make it not too out of the realm of the average of the driver? And I think you could argue it both ways. I mean, I think in the dirt race, I think there were people who were very excited for a race that was the dirt race because that's their thing and they're excited to show their skills even in a challenging track and be able to drive quickly, not hit the wall. But there are those that simply don't have that within the the realm of what they can do. Same for road racing. There are those of us that love a crazy road race and others that really look at the schedule and go, oh, great, a track I'm going to buy. That's hard because those are some of the moments I look forward to. Are those oddball, unconventional races. But it's hard because I know that there are those that there are two, three talent or two races here where they just are gritting their teeth and just want to get through. And when it's hard because I love pushing. I love trying to figure out what is the weirdest, oddest, most unexpected combination that can work. Still swear by trucks at Chili Bowl was a blast. There are others that resented it immensely. It was a fun race. So it's not like they had to buy it, but right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I still think it put on good races, but you could even consider a track like Belle Isle. At least with Twin Ring Motegi, it was an oval and a road race.
Right.
Even Red Bull Ring. I had people express displeasure at the fact that this was a track that more likely they would again. Yeah, so it's... I don't know the right answer because this is different for every person. But it definitely makes you reflect a little bit when we try a track that is new and definitely known for a particular style of racing. And it just maybe wasn't the best alignment package. It's not fun to be in that spot and kind of feel like your hands are tied. Cause again, people probably bought that track and we'd paid for setups and, just had to try and make it work. And I really want to applaud Kevin trying to, manage that and try to have the best understanding of, you know, keeping that the frustrations of a whole league under control. and not catch people abusing the possibilities of wall riding, what is and what wasn't a person out of control versus taking advantage.
Right.
I think it's why in the end we had the right call, although again, there's still those that were frustrated that we ultimately did not award any penalties related to wall ridings or the fast. That was ultimately down to, you know, not wanting to punish guys who were just trying to adapt to the situation when it was them. So was a low light of the season so far. Definitely a reminder that you can always do better, that you know, you just kind of have to always be attentive thing that you're not paying attention to that's going to come and bite you. So overall though, I mean, I want to congratulate you know, the winners of the race who still did a good job back at the podium. Telder, he was very excited for these dirt races and definitely showed his excitement by getting two. And I know right before him get some sort of procedure done with his foot, I hope Josh Gagnon. I said that right, correct? Okay.
I think it's Gagnon.
Gagnon, I don't know. I hear it said so crazy. Every time he got a third place, right?
Yes, he did. Career best third place.
So, I mean, congratulations to him. I mean, I felt like by the how difficult passing was, if you could get yourself in a good position and have just enough pace, you could maybe not inhibit the person behind you, but it wasn't as easy to just blow. So, yeah, sure, it was definitely quite the rumble on the dirt, but I mean, overall, I think the situation that everyone was in and the cards that they were dealt, at least still got a race and points were still awarded. And, definitely one for the history books, for better or for worse.
As always. But we move on from there. And after, you know, a wild race on dirt that saw a couple of career best finishes and that kind of thing. And then we go up to Canada and go racing in the French corridor and of Montreal for the first time in league history. And it did not disappoint. Had some great racing. And, you know, we finally had a new winner on a road course, a familiar winner, but a new winner on a road course, as Ricky Springer went back to victory lane in a race that saw its share of drama. We saw some wrecks. We saw some great side-by-side racing, saw some strategy. I was not disappointed by what I saw at all. I thought it was some great racing. You know, obviously we had our shares of spins and wrecks. And it's funny, we go back to the intro where the violin played. And it's kind of funny when you start talking about your VR set. And I can't help but think about, was it an episode or two episodes ago where I kind of voiced my opinion on it? And I said the reason why I don't like the idea of running VR on iRacing. And how long did it take for you to turn the ignition back on your truck?
Quite a while. I mean,
I rest my case.
It definitely makes me want to expedite getting a little, and like I've actually pretty creative setups to do it on a budget, getting a little button box that has, you know, Braille on it, something where I can have quick commands of ignition, whatever on it. That's definitely getting bumped up. But I know Montreal was a seriously good race. I think by the nature of the fact that it was so difficult to pass, you even said it on the broadcast itself, it kind of became short track racing on a road course.
Yeah.
Because the chicanes, the track, every time you get momentum, you get a chicane, you kind of have to start all over again to figure it out and really plan your attack and where you're going to make the move work. I mean, I know personally, after I had to drop back through the entire field, I was cut through the best I could. you really had to go for it. And I'm not trying to insult anyone by saying this, but there are people I was racing against that I think I'm better than, and they made it tough. They made it really tough. And it was something where I firmly believed, I'm like, I have pace on, but this has turned this some where at Red Bull Ring, I just would have been like, okay, there's a corner gone. There's enough room. I can get alongside you. I've got this space to play with. You just had to commit to your line and kind of get ready to get the bumper ready. And I had to give him back to me. I'm going to say it, Jason Dalton. I tried to get by him on the back half of the track and he said, no, you're not. And then I was the most intense moment was it was me, Dalton, Sutphin, Drift. I think we're 2x2 coming up to the chicane before the wall of champions. And I was just like, this is not ending well. And I think maybe this is just my perception of it, but I felt like Dalton pulled a little bit of a Cole Custer trying to slow up everyone before.
Oh, geez. you had to go there.
And I went right through the slowdown zone. I'm just like, all right, fine. I guess that's it. And I even completely chopped the nose of one of your guys, I think, or the TI guys. I think it was Drayton Cook. Last lap, he tried to pull a move on me in the chicane, and I was just frustrated. I said, no, you're not, and just completely closed that door. So, I mean, it was a intense race. I mean, there was some fierce battling between all the Lukes, how J.W. Miller came in at the last second, how Brandon Alphen kind of swung in there, and they kept switching around positions. And if you messed up one chicane, all of a sudden you dropped two spots because someone was right behind him.
Yeah.
I know Sean Peachin was absolutely cursing the name of Matt Telder when the two were battling.
They were laughing at it after the race, which is even better.
Oh, yeah. I think it was one of those things, just heat of the moment, you know. You could do that. I think there was something about that track that I think connects to a lot of skills in oval racing, especially short track racing, where you have high speed, braking zone, turn. Like, if I think there was enough of a correlation with people, although they may not be road racers, subconsciously they picked up on it.
Right.
I even had someone tell me personally that they feel that should be on the rotation for next season, if not a playoff.
Oh, wow.
Don't tell Luke Daniel, but right. No, I obviously I have my personal biases and I wish I was in the scrap with everyone else, but I mean, it was a good old fight. I mean, other than Ricky Apple absolutely putting the spurs to everyone there at the later portion of the race, there was intense battles up and down the grid. I have one question.
Yeah.
Because this was something that has been brought up and not voted on, contested and not voted on. And I'm not sure how I feel about it. There are those that want the comp caution. An original.
All right, I lost you there for a second because your mic does go in and out at times.
Oh, all right. I might actually have to adjust that then. Yeah.
It's been happening a decent amount. I'm just trying to work with you.
Oh, dear. Should have fixed that way early on then. I hope that this podcast hasn't been unlistenable due to that fact.
I wouldn't call it unlistenable. Well, I mean, listening to us is unlistenable.
Fair. So it's a different degree of unlistenable. There are those that have said, we should just get rid of the comp caution. There's no strategy. It doesn't promote anything. And especially now with 100% fuel, that's even a little more challenging because where before when we had the four shortened fuel, you know, you really couldn't, not to say you couldn't go much farther than the comp caution, but like, again, this goes back to what I said before. Do you set up these races as pure to the actual discipline as you can? Or do you understand that, hey, a lot of these people are out of their comfort zone. Let's not completely punish them. Because we did put the comp caution, and luckily, I'm so thankful for all the work Kevin does. He's been incredible. We were able to ensure pit lane closed at the right time, and we actually had a split strategy happen. Mm-hmm. And it was fun to watch that unfold. But, I mean, do you feel that the comp caution is worth keeping? Because if we didn't have it, maybe you would have seen some other strategies develop because of the battle of tire wear versus fuel amount, since we have 100% fuel now, it's just definitely something interesting to ponder. And I have a feeling it'll get voted on, more than likely. But I just wonder, is it the right call? Even though there are definitely those, I mean, me personally, I would love it if there's no comp caution, because the amount of times I've had a great start to a road race, comp caution happens, and then I get swallowed. I can count on both my hands. That's not true. One hand. I know what I want, but I'm not sure what's the best for everyone.
I will tell you this right now. I am on the yes bandwagon. And that is because I feel like it brings a dynamic to the race, and it does allow those who are not road racers to at least have a chance to compete in a better way. One thing that has to be looked at is a majority of these drivers are not road experts. And 99% of leagues you run in run road races without a caution. And you get people that are already in the states of, okay, I've got no chance here. I just need to, let me use Casey Duncan for an example. Casey is one of those, he wants it in between the two white lines, and he will be as slow as all get out, but make sure he gets a top 15 or something standing on the track. At least with the competition caution, it gives those kind of people a chance to compete for maybe a top 10 if something wild happens or whatever. I think personally that this league has created a standard that you don't see in other leagues that do this, by bringing the caution out. So, I think it's something that I think continues or should continue. And if you could adjust the lap times or whatever, I have no problem with that. But I think it's something that needs to happen every season when you do a road race, because I think it's a part of GLSR. It's a part of the road racing theory, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, for the road series. So yeah, I have no problem with it. And I think it's something that needs to stay and should stay. Just my opinion. I think it's created great racing. I mean, you go back to, the Belle Isle races, you go back to the Roval race with Fontaine and Aaron Smith. I mean, you had some fantastic racing on the second half of that race, where if you don't have a caution, you've got people running away snooze fest finishes.
Interesting. Yeah. I know where I sit, because again, that's my skill set. That's where I came from. That's what I know how to do. Again, I'm not elite. I'm not Fontaine. I'm not Springer, but I know my skill sets are far more competent than most.
Right.
I believe. So a place of my strengths to want that, but that's where I had the, it's hard when you know you have a skill at something, all of a sudden it seems like, well, of course, why wouldn't people want this? I want this, so why don't others? And I mean, maybe the answer is, I know we had shortened race length overall for road courses, but maybe that's the balance, is you add a little more length to the race, where you have to force the idea of maybe it isn't a one stop, it's a two stop, but at least there's a comp caution to kind of bunch it back up. Or, this would also require a little more prior investigation, which might be needed. And maybe it wouldn't be voted upon, it would just be chosen, is you really try and find that lap number where you have to make that decision, like we did the last race, where it's like, okay, I think I can make it on fuel. If I save, will my tires make it long enough? And I even know that for some people, it didn't work out as good as it could have. Where did they finish? Blaine Sparling, granted, he's still got a top 10 out of it, because he's a great road racer. Absolutely, he is. He kind of got caught out because he was so far back after pitting under the comp caution, and he was kind of down by where I was, you know, floating in the 15th to 10th range, just trying to keep it clean, that he, when we came out of the pits under the comp caution, he filed in side of us. He wasn't like Luke, who was in front, Luke Knupp. He was in the group, and so he had a double disadvantage of he couldn't use it being like, oh, it's hard to pass. At least, you know, sure, I've used a lap or two on these tires and they're a little more warm, but whatever. He had it double worse. The strategy, not that it didn't work for him, but I'm sure it wasn't as advantageous as he thought it was going to be. Maybe he disagree. So, no, I know that we do a lot of things differently, that we try to push a lot of boundaries, and there's a bit of a push and pull of what's too far and what works, and was a great idea that people wouldn't have thought of that we tried. Port Royal, I think, is in one category of, hey, it was a new track. We were excited. We voted on it. It didn't work. And we missed on it. It was a swing and a miss. I would not call Circuit Gilles Villeneuve, you know, an oddball track, considering, you know, Xfinity has run there and there's lots of documented stock car racing. But we've run a number of road course races that are not conventional stock cars, and I think they have been fantastic. See Twin Ring Mutegi, the road course, see Belle Isle both times. If you said to almost any regular stock car fan that we think that Belle Isle was going to put on exciting, crazy racing, they would think that you're huffing Sharpies. But it has. And I really genuinely think it has. So I don't know. I think it's like a lot of things. There's no clear, nothing's ever black and white. It's all gray. So Port Royal didn't work. But Circuit Gilles Villeneuve did, and there might be other road courses in the future that I'd be excited to roll the dice on and see what happens. But I think for a minute, we got to be real confident that the next time we roll up on dirt somewhere, that it's more within the goalposts.
That's fair.
But
and
that,
I think you do that. I think you do that by experimenting and testing before you put a schedule out or something like that. Go out and just run a race and see what works and what doesn't work in the end. I think that's a simple fix for that.
Yeah. Again, this is not me trying to take the easy out. Okay, lid is a little bit. I was not involved in that discussion. I merely inherited it the season. So I still think we have plenty of crazy coming up. I mean, we talk about having dirt and road back to back. We're going to have two feverish short tracks back to back, which is going to be crazy. After that will be, well, you got Milwaukee Mile in the middle of it, but you know, Talladega is coming up and we haven't even talked about that at all.
Right.
But yeah, I still think this schedule has a lot more to give in the realm of insanity. I still I'm buckling up, and we're gonna just go for a ride on this, more or less. Talladega. Anyone can win. We've proven that before. Super speedway racing. Again, no offense to him, but Jacob Black won Daytona, and I don't think anyone would have put money down on that, but he did win. Recently, I've been bummed. I'm going to have to reach out. I realized that we have not had a Chris Evans sighting in quite a while, which is a bummer. There's a lot of names down at the bottom of the points of guys that I'm sad that I haven't seen recently. I know Calhoun was sort of going to be here and there, but I mean, Alan Best and Chris Evans have both been a bit MIA. And I understand that also Jason Clark said he wanted to kind of decompress for a bit and take some time away from the series, which I completely understand. You know, he's got some personal stuff happening. I hope to see him back soon, but if not, you know, you got to put your real life and your real mental health first,
right?
Every time. So I completely understand it for him. He's just like, hey, can't do this right now. Furthermore, I know I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I know Travis had a family member pass recently. And I hope you're doing okay. And you know, I'm not. I hope we see him for Talladega, but we may not. So, but I mean, other than Chris Evans, who had a remarkable knack for finding the front of the field at the end of a super speedway race, who, I mean, how can you pick anyone? It's such a, the super speedway race are crapshoots, and you're not safe in the front of the field, you're not safe in the back. So it's like, I have no idea what to guess we're about to have in 2 days' time.
Oh, it's wide open. I mean, I think this could be an opportunity for somebody who is way out right now in left field right now after this first five races of the season, playoff wise, points wise. I think this is a perfect opportunity for them to go out here and steal a win and get themselves on the right track. I think it's a an opportunity for somebody who struggled, or somebody looking to get a win, looking to get a first career win. I think it's an opportunity for them. The sky's the limit here. It's going to be wild. You're going to have wrecks. We're going to have pissed off drivers. But I mean, when you look at the facts, the area for first time winners in this series has come at super speedways. I mean, let's think back here. We've had eight seasons and I've already come up with five first time winners in my head within 10 seconds.
Right.
When you go from Jacob Black to Ben Pierce to JW Miller to Chris Evans, that's four right there that got their first career win on a super speedway. So I see a Luke Knupp, potentially an opportunity for him to pounce here. Telder is going to be the aggressor. He's going to be the Chastain, if you will, out there.
I got a name in mind.
I think he's one that you could see go to victory lane. I think it's going to be a race, though, where I think you're going to see a lot more teamwork come out of this race than I think you've ever seen in this series.
Yeah, it's when a team can link up and be calm, you can do a lot of work from that outside lane. There's a name that's in my head, and I don't want to jinx him, but, whatever. That's the nature of this show. Perennial top 10, top 5 finisher, has shown speed, shows intelligence, and I know recently has had some pretty good super speedway wins in other series. Could this be the time Blaine Sparling gets the win? I feel like he generally thrives on that strategy and knowing when to push, knowing when to save mentality. He won a VOR IndyCar race at Daytona. I know he did. Did he win in slide job? I can't remember now. I know he gotten a few official wins at some plate races or plate like races. It might have been Atlanta. So I don't know. I mean, again, like that's, I was looking at what some other names were for winners at super speedways. The other two you didn't get, which I'm sure you'd remember if you thought about it, a little harder, because they would have come right to you. Bryson Clark and JD Green.
Yes. Green is the name I keep forgetting because I know he won that Daytona race that the first year we were there in season one. But yeah, I mean, but again, those are their only wins. So, that's what, six wins? Six first-time winners in a matter of, I can only think of one season where you ran super speedway twice, and that was season one. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that would have been season one, and that's way.
So every other season has been a one super speedway, except season five, you didn't run one. So that means you've run on average one a season. So out of eight super speedway races, you have two repeat winners. That's it. One's Chris Evans, and I can't even think who the second one is off the top of my head.
I don't know if there's another repeat winner than him.
So that means we've had 7 first-time winners then, because you got Ben Pierce.
Yeah.
You've got Bryson Clark. You've got Jacob Black. You've got JD Green. You've got, who am I missing there? That's 4. JW Miller's 5.
You said Ben Pierce, Chris Evans, JW Miller, Bryson Clark.
JD Green. That's 5.
Jacob Black.
6.
Are we?
Oh, you know what? I'm back. Let me back up. The 8th race hasn't happened. We're at 7 right now. Yeah. So 1 repeat winner in 7 races. So you tell me what the percentage is that we have a first time winner in this series coming up Wednesday night.
I mean, it's pretty high. Again, you could toss out any.
Sam Barnes could win the race Wednesday night.
I mean, it's not impossible.
I do remember seeing a Dr. Pepper Black Horizon paint scheme winning at Daytona.
I couldn't tell you who's behind the wheel of it. maybe I'll bust that one out. I don't know. I feel bad not really giving more of an insightful, concrete answer. I could even see someone like Luke Strayer getting it. You could put out.
He's got a win already.
I could see him getting it. You could toss out any name and you would have to go, ooh, yeah, I could see it.
I got a good one. Brandon Alphen. He's got no wins. I mean, you mentioned Blaine. Brandon's another one. Luke Knupp is another one that is yet to win himself a race. Matt Telder, I said it again, could be your other one. Sean Peachin could be your other one. There's 5 right there who have never won a GLSR race.
Yeah, it's just that's the joy and the pain of super speedway racing. And I don't know how you approach it. It's one of those things where more than likely you will get a caution. I mean, we only one time had a super speedway race go caution free. I think it was Daytona season 4 or 3. I'm trying to remember which one.
Well, it couldn't have been season 4 or season 3 because remember you had cautions at the halfway point up until season 7.
It's true. Okay, fine. I guess you are right. I mean, no caution brought out due to accident. So yeah, I guess you're
okay,
right.
There you go.
Caution free one, not without, you know, intervention. So I don't know. I think you have to kind of view it as what team do you think is going to be more together? I think that's why you have to consider a team like Red Sim Racing. I think they have, I'll admit, they're a bit impulsive, I think, with some of their younger guys. Luke is certainly chaotic. But I think if Blaine can keep everyone aligned, I could see the 4 of them lining up pretty good. If you could, you know, unfortunately Ace is sickly right now. They're not at full strength. If Ace Racing had all of their guys together and DUR had all their guys together, that could be a potential of up to 7 trucks that could coordinate. And that'd be quite that alone is quite a train. So you got to think of it that way too. Heck, I know William Martin has connections to Bullies. There's not that many drivers in Bully right now. But
think
like,
about what you just said.
William Martin.
He's got connection to Bullies. Way to go on that one.
Bully racing. So I don't know, like you could, or even I'm just trying to think about guys who love super speedway racing. I stand by his decision if that's what he chooses, but I think it's a shame Jason Clark won't be there, because if there was ever a week for Jason, this would be it.
Yeah.
I know Tyler Brewer, I feel like, loves a good super speedway race. You know,
that's a good one.
So it's like, even the TITIX teams, that's 8 trucks that could all link up and work together and fall back and make a plan. I think that's kind of the way you got to look at it, is how many pieces are out there that could work together that will be patient enough too. Mm-hmm. Cause I mean, mm-hmm. I could say all I want about how, oh, you know, Down Under Racing is going to, you know, fall back and we're going to work on a plan. I know Travis loves more than anything to fight up at the front of a super speedway race. He relishes it. So I don't know if I see him being patient and waiting in the back for 40, 50 laps. He's wants to be right up at the front of the track. I'm from lap one. I think we'll have to wait and see. I mean, we could try and do fantasy. We absolutely could. I'm going to type that in now, but it is shooting fish in a barrel.
I was going to say trying to catch a goldfish at the fair.
Yeah, it's the wrong fish analogy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, doesn't matter.
I mean, like,
I know what you meant.
And there are other guys that I think are hugely talented that I didn't even mention. I mean, Steven Miles, I think, you know, is a guy who just has not had the chance to show his potential. He's fast, no question. I just think things have happened to him, unfortunately. I mean, I know Jason, is it McCune or McCune?
It's Bryce, actually.
Sorry, Bryce McCune.
Yeah, Jason's his dad.
Right. Has been fast and sometimes things don't align. I mean, I could even, you know, Drift is the type of guy who,
yeah,
this is the type of race where you'll do the odd strategy and win. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So picking four guys out of a hat. I mean, if I did Steven Miles and I'm just going for all these low ball guys just to see what I can get. I mean, Steven and Cam and William Martin, it puts me at 356. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of any of these guys really love or hate super speedway racing. And if I did, I mean, this is very left field, but that's why I feel like I'm trying to think of is who could make it. Go Blaine. Who are the safest drivers? I think that's the way I'm going to approach this. If I go Blaine, Cam, I know he's had some bad luck recently, but I believe in him. Not Justin Bondrit, because he's the only person that's more unlucky than me right now. JW? No. Stalling. I'm going to just say Drift too. Why not? And then is that my four? Did I pick four already? So if I did Drift and Cam and Steven and Blaine, that puts me at 491 and it's off the wall. And if there was ever a week to just gamble, why not? I've got a guy who's very conservative, a guy who's a bit off the wall, a guy who has a lot of potential, and a guy who I think has yet to have his value represent his speed.
Mm-hmm. I think in the end for fantasy in this situation, I think you have to look at where you're running. And what I mean by that is, are you up there at the top of the leaderboard right now? Are you down in the middle, or have you absolutely, you know what, the bed? Trying to put lineups together in this race. So if you're Luke Daniels right now, who has the most points scored, Justin Bondrick, Christopher Dean, Josh Gagnon, it looks like Tim Abril's your top five. I think there you can kind of go conservative and balance your lineup out, unless you really want to try to put an aggressive lineup on to try to pull away. You can do that if you want to, but I think if you're down here where Drift is, Telder, DW90, not sure who that is, but obviously Dane Cruz, those guys, Ben Pierce, I see down here, Bryson, those guys down there, I think you have to be aggressive if you want to have a chance. Plus, remember, you get a ticket in for the butt kicker every time you win, so this is a good chance to pounce on that. So with that said, who does I go with? for this race. This is where I find drivers that you least expect. Ones that are going to be probably riding a little bit. Ones that are racing kind of smart and that kind of thing. So in that situation here, this is where I'm just looking at dollar signs right now. And yeah, I don't even know where to start here. So let's say this. Let's start with an aggressive lineup. So let's go with people who you expect to be up front, maybe. Let's go with that. So let's grab Ricky. Let's grab. You know what? I'm going to grab both Fontaine and Ricky and put them up there. So already I have now wasted $375.
Woof.
Out of $550. So that leaves me $175. If I do the math here correctly, to spend. All right. Let's go down on here to the low dollar boys. And I see Alex Bryson. I see Anthony Keys. I see Jacob Black. I see Robert Lukens. You know what? Give me some of Robert Lukens. That now gives me $80 to spend. That leaves me one guy less than $80. And he's actually a pretty damn good driver. Anthony Keys. And you're at $550. You're at actually $549. You could do that lineup. If you want to just throw a wild card lineup together. I'm just going to. And that's actually the way I'm going to go here. So I'm going to go with a wild card lineup here. I'm going to go get. I am going to grab Peyton Johnson. I'm going to grab Drift. I am going to grab Steven Miles. And I'm going to grab Alex Bryson. I still have $107 to spend if I wanted. But I'm looking at drivers. Let me share this. Steven Miles just won a super speedway race last Thursday in a league. Drift obviously is going to ride in the back. That's what he does. Peyton Johnson's going to be aggressive. He'll be up front. And I believe ran up front at Daytona last season or Talladega, wherever we were. Actually, you know what? Let me back up a pick here. I'm sorry. I don't even know why I just did this. I'm going to take Bryson out. I'm getting Telder.
Yeah.
So, and that puts me at 501. So, C3. And that's my lineup right there. Johnson, Telder, Steven Miles, and Drift, my four guys.
It's going to be a thriller. And I mean, we've said it 1,000 times and you know, we can say it till we're blue. You just don't know what's going to happen. We could have all 40 trucks go through and not one take a single nick, not even under pit road. And we could have 10 finish.
I'm going to go with B on that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, somewhere in the middle probably. But I think we're just going to have to buckle up and go for the ride. It's been a while since we've actually been in a proper oval after two pretty...
And you call this proper?
it's a circle. It's a circle and it's paved. I think after the last 2 weeks, there'll be many that will be kissing the ground that they are racing upon. So, I don't know. We're just going to have to see and... buckle up. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I really wanted to mention while I was on the show, because it's been a while.
Something that a lot of people actually are starting to enjoy that.
Regale me. Tell me. What an idiot. Tell me.
What an idiot. That's another segment for another show, for Sammy.
Well, what was I thinking? I was an idiot.
Yeah. What are you thinking, people who actually are enjoying this segment? Let's see. All right. So I actually wrote a list down on a notebook here. But there's one I didn't write down that I kind of want to go back to. And this one's actually in our Discord page. And I'm going to go back to a message that was sent out. Because this one's a really good, what are you thinking here? As they go into the GLSR, into the channel, league only announcements here. And I scroll up to, okay. A message done on October the 4th.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Pits will be closed as the leader is in turn 10, the hairpin, before they start lap 9. Race control will throw the comp yellow on lap 10. If you wish to pit before the comp caution, you will need to enter the pits on lap 7. That was from Sam Barnes. All of 1, 2, 3, 4. Roughly 30 words. So later on, I go into general chat. And I put, so basically you're pitting, or in like 8 words, I put, you're closing pits in the hairpin when the leader gets in hairpin on lap number 9 or something like that. Basically 8 words to sum up what Sam put in a whole entire paragraph.
You know, I'm long-winded. We've only done this every week for how many weeks now? On the page or in the voice? It's what I do.
Fair enough. At least I look at it as, you know what, you were trying to help everybody.
I didn't want someone being like, wait, I don't understand. When do we go? I don't understand. Especially, I don't know why I feel like, especially with how that pit lane is set up, it feels extra confusing there, even though it's not. Of course, you enter pit lane before you cross the start-finish line, but I just feel like because you keep going straight and not turned, there's something that throws me about it. So,
simple part. Leader at lap 8, leader at completion of lap 7 in the hairpin. Done.
I had been doing a lot of writing the week before trying to figure out how to work things, so I guess I was just on a roll. But I'll take it.
Call him butter. All right, away from the... okay, so... F1 race this weekend. I never thought Jules Bianchi would ever make his way onto the podcast.
Oh, Lord.
Does anyone remember like that accident? What was it, 10, 15 years ago now?
I watched it live.
Yeah. When, you know, there's a big ass loader truck thingy picking a car up, taking off track. And here comes Jules, unfortunately loses his life, parking it underneath the tractor. So let's go to the race this week, and we got videos all over social media of this guy trying to help lift the car up with a crane in the pouring down rain at Suzuka as cars go flying past. Was it not a lesson with what happened to Jules? I understand it's international racing. I understand it's all that stuff, but you know what? It's totally okay to slow the cars down under caution or safety car procedures and go from there. Instead of putting humans at risk. These are volunteers that don't get paid. They're just out there living their life, doing what they enjoy to do. Not to mention in a flipping monsoon. Can we be a little more careful? What are you thinking? The dirt vote off. We go back to that whole deal. Remember, let's go back to about 30 minutes ago. Everybody votes for the dirt race at Port Royal. Second caution of the night. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but all 28 drivers in the race decide, oh, we're going to go running off turn 4 and pretty much try to slide job each other into the wall. It proceeds to have a Talladega-style big one to bring out the second caution. What are you thinking? Number 3. ESPN. For damn near 2 weeks, during college football and other types of events, we had to cut away to watch Aaron Judge try to break a home run record. It even turned into a joke on Twitter, where people would randomly be just showing videos of something and they would cut away to Aaron Judge's at bats on ESPN as part of a joke. If we're watching college football, if we're watching boxing, if we're watching the Westminster Dog Show, if we're watching the Captain Esports Network, if we're watching QVC, do you think we want to watch Aaron Judge go for the home run record? No. But yet we got to remember ESPN focuses mainly on New York and Boston markets. Not the food restaurant, but the actual market. That's where we lose. What are you guys thinking? Kids in racing. Anybody see the ARCA race this weekend?
Oh, was it, what was his name? Sammy Smith and...
Sammy Smith and Jesse Love.
I did see that, and my God.
A perfectly okay bump and run, and Jesse Love gets all butt hurt. Didn't love it, apparently, and tries to get in the way and mess up Sammy Smith doing a burnout and stuff. So what's Sammy do? He gets down there and he literally lays a burnout in front of the car, which is awesome. And then I see a video on Twitter later on, or a photo of Billy Venerini, who's the owner of Jesse Love's car, with a big ass shiner between his ear and his eye. It's like kids have forgotten how to race. Totally. And it's bad. When you see the truck series, there's no respect. This ARCA series, you've got 10 cars running a week and they can't respect each other. What do you think? Last one that I can remember from 2 weeks now that I wrote down is the schedule from last week. Some genius decided to run the Petit Le Mans, which is usually right around the first week of October, last week of September, the same weekend as the Talladega race. A track that is all 100 miles apart from each other. We're going to run probably the one of the top four biggest races, road races in all of America, and a NASCAR race side by side with each other. Now, granted, they were on two separate days, so if you really wanted to, you could go Saturday to one race and go Sunday to the other, but still, you put them on the same weekend with each other. What are you thinking?
I don't know if we ever talked about, I mean, I don't know if we have time for it, but I don't think we ever talked about like NASCAR's official schedule release. But then again, there really wasn't that much different other than the...
What are you thinking? We're going to Chicago's road course.
Hey, I'll be there for better or for worse. I mean, I'll tell you what, I can guarantee this. It will only be for the few years that they got written down, and then it will not happen again. So it will
who's
only...
Who's the politician that got in trouble in Chicago?
That could be so many different people. I mean, we got to be more specific.
Well, didn't one get kicked off or something, the board, because he didn't talk to the city or something like that and get an approval to put the event there? Because apparently by law, it's any event that's like longer than like 3 days or something, you have to have approval of the city or whatever.
I'd have to look that up. That might be some alderman thing. What are you thinking? Hey, I don't know. It'll be a sight to behold. I'll tell you what, that's why it's like, I got to be there, because they definitely won't be doing it again. So I don't want to miss out on my chance where, before that insanity happens. And, I mean, Lord, it'll be something. It will be something. Maybe GSLR will beat him to Chicago Street before NASCAR does. We'll see.
I think I might have to go to the airport that night.
Oh, I will. Come on. Out of all the races, I would need you to be there for. I'd have to have.
Which is funny, because I'm sure Luke, as he listens to this podcast at the moment, would be like, and you're the one that hosted your IndyCar League there.
Yes, I'm sure he'll say that. Anyways, guys, thank you for listening to Just Here for the GLSR. I know we missed last week. I apologize for that. And I know that this show was definitely more subdued. You know, we had some less fun things to talk about when things don't go right, but that's the nature of the beast, everyone. I'm sure we will have more than enough to discuss for Talladega, and it's going to be absolutely insane. I'm glad we could get this show out, and remember, guys, take it easy in the turn one, because we are just here. Jeez.